Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. John is describing his vision for us. He said he stood on the sand of the sea, and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. In the scriptures, the sea is used symbolically of the nations. And so John sees this beast rise out of the nations. There are passages of scripture in Daniel and others in Revelation that help us to understand this first verse. Daniel 7:3 says, "And four great beasts came up from the sea that were diverse one from another." Or from the nations, there are four that rise up that are diverse from each other. Verse 7 of Daniel 7, he said, "And after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, the fourth beast was dreadful and awesome. He was exceedingly strong. He had great iron teeth that devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue of the empires with its feet. It was diverse from the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. And these great beasts, which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast," Daniel said, "which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and nails of brass, which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom three fell, even of that horn which had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all of the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he will be diverse from the first, and he will subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. He will wear out the saints of the Most High. He will think to change the times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand for 3.5 years. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and this is in Revelation 12:3, the chapter we just studied. Behold, a great red dragon, which we know to be Satan, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. So the 10 and the 7 are things that are repeated concerning this beast that arises out of the sea. I saw 3 unclean, this is Revelation 16:13. I saw 3 unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So in these you have the trinity of evil, the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. So we're identified again with the Antichrist here. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And the angel said unto me, "Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. So often, as is this case, the Bible is the best commentary you can get on the Bible. The Lord said, I'll tell you about this beast with the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit or the abuso, and will go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, he is the eighth, and he is of the seven, and he goes into perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings for 1 hour with the beast. So, the identity. Daniel tells us that the vision that he saw, the Lord told Daniel, that these beasts that he saw rising out of the sea are kingdoms that shall arise to rule over the earth. The first was the Babylonian kingdom, the first world empire. But it was to be replaced by the Medo-Persian empire. In the visions of Daniel, the first was like a lion. The second was like a bear, the Medo-Persian empire, that would destroy the Babylonian or conquer the Babylonian empire. The third would be the Grecian empire, the leopard, that would conquer the Medo-Persian empire. The fourth, of course, was the Roman empire that would conquer over the Grecian empire. Now, the Roman empire never was really conquered. It just sort of disintegrated. But the Bible tells us that there will be a revival of the Roman Empire. In other words, there will be a combining again of the nations that once comprised the Roman Empire. The European nations would federate together in the last days. And we see that happening today in the European community. We see the nations of Europe federating together, forming the European community. Out of it will come this little horn of Daniel, which will destroy three of the kings, but then he will receive the power over the kingdom and will have really power over the earth. So this is the little horn of Daniel that John sees here in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 13. Notice the seven heads are the mountains or the hills, which, of course, Rome has been known as the city of seven hills throughout the centuries. And the ten horns are ten kings, which will receive their power to reign with the Antichrist, and the names of blasphemy. So the beast, he said, which you saw, was likened to a leopard, which was the Grecian Empire. His feet like a bear, which was the Medo-Persian Empire. And his mouth is the mouth of the lion, which was the Babylonian Empire. So he sort of combines the characteristics and the traits of the empires that have governed the world in the history of the world. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. In Luke 4:6, Satan said to Jesus, as he took him up to a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the earth, all this power will I give to you, and the glory of them, for it has been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Satan boasted of his authority over the world, the power that he had over the world, and he was promising to give it to Jesus. We find him giving it here to the beast, the Antichrist, the man of sin that's going to come on the scene. Jesus, in talking to his disciples about the signs of the end of the age and his coming again, said, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they will deceive the very elect." So Jesus warned about the false Christ and the false prophet, and because of the wonders and the signs, the miracles that they will do, the world will be deceived. Paul, talking about him in 2 Thessalonians, said, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders," Satan gives to him his power, "and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." In the 12th verse of 13th chapter here, speaking of the false prophet that's going to rise to cause people to worship the beast, it says, "He exercises all of the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he deceived them that dwelt on the earth by the means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live." In the 16th chapter of Revelation, verse 14, as it speaks of these four spirits that come forth, the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And so these spirits of devils that will go forth into all the earth and gather the nations for the battle of Armageddon. This deadly wound that was healed, we read of it there that the people wondered after this. "The beast I saw was like a leopard in his feet of a bear," and so forth. He had power and authority. "And I saw," verse 3, "one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. And the deadly wound was healed, and all of the world wondered after the beast." In Zechariah, he prophesies concerning the true shepherd and the false shepherd that would come. He called the true shepherd beauty. He called the false shepherd bands or bondage. And Zechariah said, I took unto me two sticks, the one I called beauty, the other I called bands, and I fed the flock. Three shepherds also I cut off in 1 month, and my soul loathed them, and their soul abhorred me. Then I said, I will not feed you that which dies, let it die, and that which is to be cut off, let it be cut off, and let the rest eat every one of the flesh of one another. Then I took my staff, the one stick, even beauty, and I cut it in sunder, broken. Beauty, Christ, who was cut asunder, who was crucified, that I might break my covenant which I made with all of the people. And it was broken in that day, so that the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. And then I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver, a prophecy of the amount of money that Judas would receive in the betrayal of Jesus in turning Jesus over to the high priest, 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, cast it to the potter. You remember when Judas brought the money back to the priest and said, I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, that's your problem. He tried to give them the 30 pieces of silver back. And they refused to take it back. And so Judas just threw it on the floor of the grounds there. And he said, it's your problem. You gather it up and do with it what you please. And Judas then went out and hung himself. They then had a dilemma. There was a law that they could not use blood money in the treasury of the Lord. And so they said, what shall we do with it? And it was determined that they would buy the potter's field to use it for the burying of the poor people. The potter, oftentimes when firing the vessels, they would crack. They would be useless. And so he would just toss them out in the field. And so there were these fields that were filled with pottery shards, as the potter would just cast the vessels out. But because of all of the pottery shards in the field, they really could not be used for cultivation. They were sort of became worthless. And so they would often then make that the burial grounds for the poor people, and thus you hear the term potter's field referring to a cemetery or a burial ground. Comes from this case with Judas, but it was prophesied some 500 years before by Zechariah, or some 400 years before by Zechariah. The price, 30 pieces of silver. The Lord said, cast it to the potter, a goodly price that I was prized of them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver, I cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. Then I cut my other staff, even bands, that I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And the Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of the foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land which shall not visit those that are cut off, neither shall he seek the young one, nor heal that which is broken, nor feed that which stands still. But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear the claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaves the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm will be shriveled and his right eye will be blinded or utterly darkened. So we are told in Revelation and also here of the assassination attempt that will be made upon the Antichrist. And he will receive a deadly wound, but yet he will survive that deadly wound, but with the loss of his right arm and his right eye as a result of that deadly wound. But the fact that he survives it will be an amazing miracle before the world. And they will worship the beast who survives this deadly wound. Verse 3, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, and all of the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? And who is able to make war with him? Satanic worship will be worldwide. Now, when I was young, and that was many years ago, the thought or the idea of Satan worship was the most foreign thing in the mind of an individual. Who in the world would ever consider worshiping Satan? And I remember when Anton LaVey began the Satanic Church, everybody thought it was a big spoof. that this guy can't be serious. He's got to just be spoofing everybody. But we discovered that he was serious. He wrote the Satanic Bible. And many people began to actively, consciously worship Satan. Many of the horrible, atrocious crimes, unthinkable types of crimes, are committed by people who are involved in satanic cults and in satanic rituals. And it is a very common thing. Here in Southern California, it isn't something that's just limited to one area. There are many of the rock groups that in their lyrics are advocating satanic worship. And that's where many of the young people are drawn into satanic worship through the rock and the rap groups. It is an interesting thing that through the years, the sign of demonic possession was the person's tongue hanging out. And it is interesting to me how that in so many of the groups, so many of the pictures of the group members, or even many of those in the World Wrestling Association, have their tongues hanging out. And it is a sign among the initiated of satanic possession or demon possession. So what was once unthinkable is now a common practice, but it's going to get much worse. Once the church is taken out, there will be many, when this man comes with his miracle working powers, when he survives the assassination attempt, people will begin to worship Satan, and they will worship Satan's man upon the earth, the beast, the Antichrist, who is here on the earth at that time. They worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. They worship the beast, saying, "Who is like unto him?" And he will have such great power, supernatural powers, and also military powers, that the question will rise, who is able to make war with him? Verse 5 tells us, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, there are several different names in the Bible for this Antichrist. He is called here the beast, and in other passages, Revelation 17. He is called the son of perdition by Paul. He is called the man of sin. And of course, Daniel refers to him as the little horn. But there are several names in the scriptures. Antichrist is probably used less than any other. Only John used that title for him. And that only once in his first epistle. But that's the title that seems to stick and perhaps best identifies him. Because he will be against Jesus Christ, opposed to everything that is righteous, that is pure, that is holy. He will be utterly given over to vile blasphemies against the Lord. Here we find him speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given power to continue for 3.5 years. This blasphemous mouth is also mentioned by Daniel. Chapter 7, 25, he will speak great words against the Most High. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change the times and the laws, and they shall be given into his hand until the 3.5 years, the same 42 months that we find here in Revelation. Daniel 11:36, and the king shall do according to his will. He will exalt himself. He will magnify himself above every god. He will speak marvelous things against the God of gods and shall prosper till the indignation is accomplished, for that which has been determined shall be done. Verse 6, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle or temple and them that dwell in heaven. He speaks out blasphemously concerning God and concerning the church, which at this time has been raptured and is with the Lord in heaven. Back again in Daniel chapter 9, we are told that he is going to make a covenant with the nation of Israel for a 7-year period. But in the midst of that 7-year period, he will cause the sacrifices and the oblations to cease. For the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the end, and that which is determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He causes the daily prayers and sacrifices to cease. The temple in Jerusalem shall be rebuilt. They will begin to worship again in the temple with daily prayers and sacrifices, perhaps as the result of the covenant that he makes with the nation of Israel, this 7-year covenant. But in the midst of that 7 years, he will come to the rebuilt temple. He will cause the daily sacrifices and prayers to cease, and there he will so desecrate it with such an abominable act that this will be the trigger that fires men into the great tribulation, when the wrath of God will be revealed from heaven against all of ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who have held the truth of God in unrighteousness. When Jesus was explaining to his disciples the signs of the end of the age, he said, "When you see, therefore, this abomination of desolation that Daniel the prophet spoke about, when you see it standing in the holy place, whosoever reads, let him understand." So in the midst of the 7-year period, once the temple has been built and sacrifices and prayers instituted again, he will come to the temple. He will stand in the temple of God. He will come into the Holy of Holies, and there he will proclaim that he is God, and he will demand that they worship him as God. Paul, writing about him in 2 Thessalonians, said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that as God he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And so, opening his mouth against God in blasphemy and in his tabernacle, and against his tabernacle and those that dwell in heaven. Verse 7, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all of the families, tongues, and nations." Making war with the saints and overcoming them. Back in Daniel chapter 7, verse 21, Daniel tells us, "I beheld in the same horn," that is that little horn of Daniel, which we mentioned earlier, "made war with the saints and prevailed against them." Because the Bible speaks of the saints in the great tribulation, and because the Bible speaks about the elect in the great tribulation, there are many people who have made the mistaken notion that the church will be here during the great tribulation. But the elect And the saints that are referred to are the nation of Israel. God said to Daniel that there were 77-year periods that were determined upon the nation of Israel and upon the holy city to finish the transgressions, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to complete the prophecies, to anoint the most holy. And then he divided the 77s into 69 and 1. From the time the commandment would go forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, would be 69 sevens. And that was fulfilled 483 years after the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Jesus made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. But at that point, with their rejection of the Messiah, and Daniel prophesied that, he said, but the Messiah will be cut off and receive nothing for himself, and the people will be dispersed. And after the crucifixion of Jesus, the Jews were dispersed. And we are in a time that is known in the scriptures as the times of the Gentiles. And in this time of the Gentiles, the Spirit of God is working among the Gentile nations. As God has worked in your heart and God is working in our hearts among the Gentiles. But the Bible speaks about the fullness of the Gentiles coming in. That is, when the Holy Spirit has drawn in the last Gentile believer into the church, then the Lord is going to again work with the nation of Israel. Paul speaks about that in Romans, where he talks about all Israel shall be saved because the Redeemer is going to come out of Zion to turn the children unto their fathers. But he speaks about that blindness has happened to Israel, in part, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Jesus said that the city of Jerusalem would be trodden under the foot of the Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles comes. And so we are living in a transitional point. Jerusalem, for couple thousand years, was trodden under the foot of the Gentiles, but in 1967 came under the control of the nation of Israel once again. But the Lord is going to take the Gentile church out of this world, and then his Spirit will again be working among the Jewish people. The last 7 years, God has 7 years of this covenant that he made with the nation of Israel that is yet to be fulfilled, and that will take place once the church is removed. Then God's clock starts once more, and you've got the final 7 year countdown after the church is removed. So he causes the daily sacrifices to cease, and that gives you then the event that will trigger the great tribulation. And he made war with the saints, but the saints cannot be the church. They are Israel that God is working with again. You remember when Jesus was at Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, and he asked them, who do people think I am? And one of the disciples said, well, I've heard people say that they think that you're maybe Jeremiah, the prophet. Another disciple said, well, I've heard people say that you're John the Baptist, you've come back from the dead. Others said, well, some say you're Elijah. Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Petros, you're a little pebble, you're a little stone. And upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the fact that the Antichrist makes war with the saints and prevails against them precludes the saints being the church, because the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. Revelation 17:8 tells us the beast that you saw was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and will go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth will wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. The mention of the book of life. God has books in heaven, and one of them is the book of life. We first find it mentioned in the Old Testament when God said to Moses that he would wipe out those people because of their rebellion and their hardness of hearts and stiff necks. And Moses interceded for the nation. And he said, Lord, I ask you to forgive them. And if not, then blot, I pray, my name out of your book of remembrances. When Jesus was addressing the seven churches here in Revelation chapter 3, as he gets to the church of Sardis, he promises to those that overcame that they would dwell with him. He would not blot their names out of the book of life. In the 20th chapter, when we see the great white throne judgment of God, the books were opened, the dead are judged out of the things which are in the book, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into Gehenna. This is the second death. And so this book of life, and here he speaks of the people being deceived whose names were not in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And here's this oft-repeated phrase then, verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity will go into captivity. He that kills with a sword will be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now the second personage, the second beast of chapter 13. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. The false prophet. You remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, beware of false prophets. They will come to you in sheep's clothing, but actually they are wolves in sheep's clothing. And so the warning of Jesus of the false prophets. So the fact that he has horns like a lamb looks innocent enough, but he speaks like the dragon, like Satan, thus the false prophet. And he exercises all of the power of the first beast before him. And he causes the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He is the one who will lead the earth in the declaration that this man is the Messiah. He will appear to be a prophet of God, but he is actually a false prophet leading the people to the worship of the Antichrist. And one of the strong points will be his survival from the assassination attempt. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell upon the earth by the means of the miracles which he has the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. Jesus mentions the false Christ that will do many great signs and wonders so that if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived. Paul tells us that they will come with all lying signs and wonders in the powers of Satan. Here again, one of the marks are signs and wonders. That is why it is dangerous to just follow after signs and wonders, because obviously Satan is able to perform supernatural kinds of signs and wonders in order to deceive people, and surely that is the case here in the Antichrist and the beast, the false prophet. The ability to perform these astounding miracles, wonders, signs, deceive and using them for the deceiving of the people. And he deceives those that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he have power to do in the sight of the beast. And then he advocates that they make an image of the beast. This image will be placed in the temple in Jerusalem, and they will then require that everyone worship the image of the beast. But they have power to give life unto the image of the beast. Isn't it interesting the experimentation that is being done with cloning in these days? Now, from a child, I heard that one thing that Satan could not do was to create life. But it is interesting that here they have power to give life to this image. Just exactly what this entails, I do not know. I don't plan to be here to find out. They have power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast will both speak, and they will cause as many as will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. There will be many people who will be martyred during this period of time as the Antichrist solidifies his power. Those that refuse to take his mark, those that refuse to worship him, we'll get that more in our study next Sunday night as we move into the 14th chapter, and we now pick up with the vials that are being poured out and the incidents that will be taking place during that time. So, the martyrdom of those who refuse the mark. And he causes both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except he has it, that mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. There will be a doing away with money as such. No more dollar bills in your pocket. All of the exchange for goods will be done with a mark in the right hand or in the forehead that will either be implanted, perhaps a computer chip, perhaps a tattoo. We don't know exactly what it will be. But we do know that no one will be able to buy or sell without this mark that is in their right hand or in their forehead. The film that will be shown here on Friday night was made back in 1978. And at that time in the film, we are telling in the film that there's going to come a time very soon when you go to the grocery store, there will be little computer stations or relays, and that you'll be able to have a card, and all you have to do is run it through this little computer relay, and it will automatically pay your grocery bill. It will automatically take the money out of your bank account and transfer it into the store's account. And I spoke of that as a futuristic kind of a thing. If I remade the film today, it would no longer be a futuristic kind of a thing. So if you do come out Friday night and see that film, remember that was made back in 1978. And some of the things that we were predicting as because of what the Bible says, we knew that this was going to take place. You hear so much about the smart card. You hear about electronic transfers. That was the beginning, actually, of the electronic transfers of bank funds. We were allowed to go into the building there in Brussels and film what they call the Beast, which is the giant computers that were made for the electronic funds transfers. And the whole thing has progressed since 1978. That was 21 years ago, and we're moving that much closer. And now it is no stretch of the imagination to realize how that money could be done away with. And you all just have an account, a numbered account or whatever, and you have the identity mark with you. And it will, I believe, be presented as a major crime buster. Think of if everybody had to use a mark either to buy or sell. Every transaction that you made could be kept on a record in a computer. There would be no more purpose of picking someone's pocket to take the money out of the wallet because money will be of no value. To take the credit cards, they will be of no value. You will have to have the mark. And so it will eliminate so many crimes, so many robberies, which money is the object of the robbery. It will eliminate all of these violent crimes where people are trying to take someone else's money and all, because money will be of no value. And even your jewelry, if they try to fence it or sell it, there'll have to be a computerized record of it. And thus, this program, which is really a brilliant idea. It would be a great thing, except that you don't want to be involved, because it will be inaugurated by the Antichrist and the false prophet as they bring the world under their control. Big Brother will be here. They're talking about these little miniaturized transmitters that can be injected in the animals, and of course they are already injecting them into pets. And they can trace, you know, if your dog runs away, they can trace it. They are advocating putting them in maybe a filling in a child's tooth. So that if your child was ever kidnapped or ever lost, with the satellite global positioning satellites, they'd be able to locate exactly where your child is. It's amazing what can be done now with these global positioning satellites. I wear a watch that is amazing in that it not only tells time, but I just looked at it and it said the angels won 2-1. Their record is now 44 wins and 59 losses. And the time is exactly 8:23 and 2 seconds. The satellite corrects the time every 15 minutes so that the time is always to the very second. And it's the wristband itself is a little antenna. And every once in a while I hear a beep, 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 and I look down and it says, call home. And so, not tonight, my wife's here tonight, so I don't have to worry about things beeping while I'm speaking. But it's amazing the computer technology and the satellite communications. And we'll be looking at that a little bit next week as we find these angels flying through the midst of the heaven with the everlasting gospel and all. So here in his wisdom, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, in the Hebrew and in the Greek, they do not have a separate numeric system, but they use the alphabet for their numbers. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta is 1, 2, 3, 4 in Greek, as well as the first four letters of the Greek alphabet. And the same is true in Hebrew. The aleph, bet, gimel, and dileth are the 1, 2, 3, 4 in the Hebrew, which means that every Greek letter has a numeric equivalent. Every Greek letter is also a number. It has its numeric equivalent. And so the number of a man, and the number is 666, so the numeric equivalent of this man's name will probably total to 666. We'll look at this more when we get to the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. But the Lord does, it's sort of one of those whodunit type of mysteries where the Lord said, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, because it's the number of a man and his number is 666. So he's giving you clues. It's interesting how many people have taken those clues and tried to put them on different people. Someone, by twisting things here and there, someone actually came up with Kissinger totaling out to 666. But he has sort of fallen from the scene. But it's interesting. I don't know that we will really know until the fellow is revealed. It's interesting also that over and over when we are talking about the Antichrist and the scriptures that pertain to him, it says that which has been determined shall be done. Over and over you get that affirmation. The Lord said that which is determined shall be done. And what it is saying is that God's word shall come to pass. And these things that the word of God talks about are that the technologies and all are developing at the present time to bring these things into practical use. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh. How much more until the Lord removes his church? I don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But Jesus said, watch and be ready, because in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. And surely, he said, when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption is getting close. And all I can say, it's getting close. And it's time that we not play games with God, not play games with our relationship with God, but we get very serious about the things of the Lord and about the things of the Spirit. Father, we thank you again for the insight that you've given to us in the things that are coming to pass upon the earth. And Lord, amazing, as we look at the scriptures, we find that it isn't just here in the book of Revelation, but it dovetails and correlates and corresponds with Daniel, with Zechariah, with your own words in Matthew, with Paul's words to the church of the Thessalonians. And Lord, we see these things shaping up, which were predicted so many thousands of years ago. And yet we are living in that day when they are being fulfilled before our very eyes. Lord, we're excited to realize that your coming is near, even at the doors. And Lord, it is our prayer that you will help us to be diligent about the things of the Spirit, that day will not catch us unaware, unprepared. The Lord will be ready to meet you, to be caught up together in the clouds, that we might ever be with you. Lord, thank you for this glorious hope that you have given to us as children of God. Sustain us, Lord, with that hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are standing down here at the front as soon as we're dismissed. If you feel in need of prayer, come on down. They're here to minister to you. The word minister means servant. We're here to serve you, to serve your spiritual needs, to pray for you when you're discouraged, when you're upset, when you're fearful. The Bible tells us to pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So they're here to minister to you tonight. So if you're in need, don't rush off, but come and be prayed for, be blessed. Let the Spirit of God just work in your life, meeting your needs. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.